Welcome to a recording of Titusville Free Methodist Church, a community planted in the forgiveness, freedom, and fullness of Jesus Christ. We thank you for your interest and pray that you are blessed as you listen to this relevant word.
All right, so today we have a really great day. I'm real excited to have Kevin Austin with us. I'm going to say more about that in a minute. But let me just go over a couple things with you. When you came in this morning, you got your worship folder. There were just three things inside of there today. Number one, you had your offering envelope, and we would love for you to use this today. If you do your offerings through cash or through checks, if you put that in the envelope and mark it appropriately, that will help out our financial secretaries. If you're not prepared to use it today, you can take it home, put a stamp on it, send in the mail, or you can take it home, prepare it for next week, and bring it back. But if you're one of the growing number of people, how about that, Matt? If you're one of the growing number of people who are using PushPay to automate your giving, that's really great, and you don't need an offering envelope anymore. You can take this envelope and on your way out, put it in one of the receptacles on the door so that we can make that available again to someone else. All right, so in here you also have your connection card. It looks like this. If you're a regular attender here, all we're ever asking you to do is just to write your name across the top. If there's any information that needs updated as far as your contact, you can fill that out. A little bit later on in the service, we're going to be asking you to look at some things on the back, but we'll do that during the announcements. But if you're new to Tea Free, if you're a first-time guest or a second-time guest, or maybe you've been hanging out with us for a little while, but you've just never taken the time to fill out your connection card or you were a little fearful of it, we just want you to share whatever information you're comfortable sharing. And then what we'll do with that is we'll sell it online to increase revenue. I'm just seeing if regulars are listening to what I'm saying or not. So we don't do any of that. We don't share it with anybody. We just use it so that we can have a means to be able to follow up with you in some way or another. All right, so take a moment and fill out the front side of your connection card, and we'll talk about the backs later. Finally, you had this Freedom Sunday insert in your bulletin. We are a part of a global movement. We're a part of a global movement of Christians, of people who are a part of the kingdom of God, who believe it is wrong and displeasing to God for people to be coerced in any way, shape, or form, whether it's for sexual purposes or for labor purposes. We believe that God is moving against this, and we're just working with God. We're moving with God. So we've been a part of the Set Free movement for a lot of years now, but you know, there are some things that that you lose track of. And so I think that's been Tea Free and the Set Free movement. We have a fair trade cabinet in the back. Usually it gets blocked by people standing around talking because we don't have enough room in the lobby to stand around and talk other places. But back in the fair trade cabinet, we sell fair trade chocolate, we sell fair trade coffee, and we sell products made by seed, which helps people establish micro businesses. And so we've been a part of that for a long time. We believe God called us into that. And Kevin Austin, he's a global leader. He is one of our prominent leaders in the Free Methodist Church, and he leads globally churches around the world and movements around the world to address the problem of human slavery. And we get to partner with Kevin. So like every Sunday morning when we take the offering, 10% of our offering goes to mission work, and Kevin is a part of that mission work that we partner with around the world. And it's been a number of years since we've had Kevin with us, so he's going to be new to a lot of you, because like, actually when we had Kevin here before, like you might have missed that Sunday, and it's like, I don't remember that. And if you weren't here, like you definitely don't remember that. So we want to reintroduce you to Kevin, and he's got... he's got God's heart on this. That's what I want to say. Kevin's got God's heart on this. So I want you to, okay, everybody ready? Get your smiles on your face. We want you to let Kevin know that you like him. that you're glad he's here. And so put a smile on your face, keep your heads up, keep your eyes open, and let's welcome Kevin to the platform. Thanks for Kevin coming.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. I've got a few introductory comments to make just before I start. The first one is thank you. Thank you for supporting me as a missionary. I'm actually a missionary to a problem, not to a place. And the problem is human trafficking. So my full-time job is to help mobilize the church, and I connect with universities, and I connect with different businesses, and a wide variety of organizations to help to address the issue of modern-day slavery. So thank you for supporting me as a missionary. Thank you also for supporting the Fajardos. I know that there are another missionary couple that you support. I work very closely with Josh in Europe. We've got great things going on in Hungary and Bulgaria, and we've got new work in Spain. In fact, I've got t-shirts for sale out on the table, and we have a t-shirt that says Se Luz, which in Spanish means, you know, be the light, with a great big light bulb, and we're selling those as a fundraiser to help set free work in Spain. So I have t-shirts in the back for sale too, and the drummer dude, why don't you stand up and show everybody your t-shirt? I mean, look at that. Doesn't he look great in that? Woo! Thanks. What's that?
Does it say across the bottom?
Is it what?
What does it say?
Oh, it says live in the direction of freedom, or move in the direction of freedom. Yeah, live. He was drumming in the direction of freedom this morning. Yeah, yeah. The other thing is that on that back table, I've got prayer cards. Please take a prayer card. And there's 8 different ways to pray for us, so please do that. And then this is an information card. You can take this home, and there's some next steps on it. And if you want to be on the mailing list, you legibly fill out the bottom part and tear this off and give it to me, and then we'll add you to the mailing list, and then you've got the mailing list. The last thing I want to say is that this message is a message of hope. It's not a message of despair. We need to put that right at the beginning. This is hard stuff, talking about human trafficking, modern-day slavery, but this is a message of hope, not a message of despair, because the God of creation, Jesus, who died and rose again from the dead, the Holy Spirit who is with us, there is nothing God cannot do. Amen? And we live in the power of the resurrection. It says that in Ephesians chapter 1, right at the end of that chapter. It talks about the very power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. And so we need to remember that within this context of worship this morning, that these are hard conversations in the beginning, but I really want you to be inspired by the end of the message. So this is a message about inspiration, and it's a message about mobilization, that there are some things that we can do in our world today. Okay, you with me? Let's go ahead and start. You can go ahead to this next slide. In our world today, there are at least 40 million slaves. And these are people that are under the threat of violence. They're doing things they don't want to do. They can't go home at the end of the day. These are not people making $1 a day and going home. These are slaves, real slaves, who are working in a wide variety of different ways. And it's a $150 billion a year business. So yes, it's about laws and law enforcement and the breakdown of the moral fabric of society, and it's about rescue and restoration, but it's a business. It's a business. And we really need, this is a long conversation. I really need about 8 hours, but I've only got about 30 minutes, because there's a lot to this conversation, because slavery exists in places like domestic labor and commercial sex and restaurants and hospitality and factories and manufacturing and construction and landscaping and agriculture and forestry. It's in our cupboards, our closets, our kitchens. It's across the street. It's around the corner. It's on the other side of the world. And so how do you know what products to buy and use? You know, the cotton we wear, the chocolate we eat, the coffee we drink, the technology we use, the automobiles we drive. Slavery's in just about everything. And so how do we respond to that? That's a really long, complicated conversation, which we can't have this morning, but I would encourage you, sign up for the newsletter, get online, look at our website. We're trying to help you figure those things out. And it's not just a problem over there in a place like India or Bulgaria or Hungary or Argentina. It's a place, human trafficking is happening right here in the United States. And some research shows us that there are somewhere between 100 to 300,000 domestic minor sex trafficking victims in the United States. Domestic meaning they're Americans, minors meaning they're under the age of 18, and they're involved in commercial sexual exploitation. Now, if you add to that number those who are over the age of 18, those who are trafficked in, and those who are involved in labor trafficking, which is statistically larger than sex trafficking, I'm going to guess that there are at least 1 million slaves in the United States. There are at least 1 million slaves in the United States. This is a global epidemic that's right here. It's right here in Pennsylvania. It's in the United States, and it's all over the world. This next slide, again, shows you this definition that people are held by force. They're unable to walk away, and they're doing things that they don't want to do. But we have to ask some other questions, and this next slide shows you some other questions that we need to ask. But before we do that, I want you to look at those girls. This is a picture from Bulgaria, where I just was a couple weeks ago. And these girls are Roma girls. They're gypsies. They've got a darker skin than the Bulgarians, who are light-skinned like me. There's extreme prejudice against them. They live in incredible poverty. They don't have economic opportunities or job opportunities or healthcare opportunities. And the girls in particular are very vulnerable to human trafficking. Now the good news is that a few years ago on Freedom Sunday, we raised money for a home called the St. John's Home for Roma girls, a home that's created to protect girls from human trafficking in Bulgaria. And when I was there 2 weeks ago, we dedicated the home. It's almost ready. The first girls will be in there at the beginning of 2020, and we'll be protecting those girls from human trafficking. And these questions are important. Is this a problem or a symptom? Is this and what creates vulnerability to begin with? And this is where it can get really overwhelming. Any injustice creates vulnerability. So racism, homelessness, poverty, gender inequality, alcohol abuse in the home, domestic violence in the home, all of those things create a vulnerability to human trafficking. And you know that those things exist in your county. Those things exist in your city. And so you know that there's human trafficking in this part of Pennsylvania as well as Bulgaria. So not only am I asking you to help us end human trafficking, but we need to address all the injustices that are flourishing in our society. And again, I would just remind us, God can do these things through us. He uses us to do these things. The other question, is this a problem or is it a symptom? And that's a really important question. Now, in my body, I have a problem, and it's called arthritis. And it manifests itself in some deformity in my digits, like my middle fingers deformed. That's a symptom. When I go to the rheumatologist doesn't just try to help my finger to be better. He wants to address the problem in my body. If he only addressed the finger, then I would have all sorts of problems. No, he wants to get right into the problem. You with me? He wants to get right into the problem. And so this is a really important question. And we believe that human trafficking is not a problem. It's a symptom. It's a symptom. And what is the problem? This next slide shows you that there's relationships that are broken. We are broken between us and God and us and each other. There's incredible brokenness between men and women, between the rich and the poor, between different races, between different political affiliations and religious affiliations. And this brokenness becomes brokenness in communities, which then becomes reinforced by broken systems, which then becomes brokenness in whole cultures. It's about brokenness. It's about brokenness. And the question is, who can heal the brokenness? You know, politics can't. Business can't. Academia, schools are helpful, but they're not in the business of healing our communities either. It's the church. It's God. God working through us to bring hope and healing to broken communities. So we really believe that human trafficking is a symptom. Brokenness is the problem. And so we have to have a dual engagement. And this is it. Go to that next slide. We must do two things simultaneously. Serve with compassion at the margins and work to bring hope and healing to broken communities. We do both. We address racism and homelessness and human trafficking, but we also have to bring hope and healing into the broken communities. So, this is why the Set Free movement creates community teams around the world to engage within their communities. We now have 45 different community teams engaging in Pennsylvania, New York, Michigan, Illinois, California, Oregon, Washington, the Philippines, Bulgaria, Hungary. We're in 9 different countries. And we're doing things like working with foster families, going into high schools and do education. We're working against child trafficking in Manila. We've got a safe house in Illinois. Next year, we're going to launch another safe house in California. We've got this new home in Bulgaria. Any way that we can, we're trying to engage within the local context, within a community atmosphere. This is what we're trying to do. Now, to drill down a little more specifically on Freedom Sunday, this next slide. When I was about a year and a half ago, I met with Hani Salah. Hani is an Egyptian who is the director of the Free Methodist work in northern Iraq. And he came to me and he said, we're doing church planting and leadership development and people are coming to know Jesus, but we keep finding all these women who were sex slaves of ISIS and we don't know what to do with them. Can you help us? And my internal voice said, no, 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 no. Run away as fast as you can because we don't have the time, we don't have the money, we don't have the leadership. Like, how are we going to help? But what came out of my mouth was, we'll try. I don't know what we'll do, but we'll try to help you. And then he started to explain the different things that are going on. And I want to share this with you, that the war in Syria, not the war in Iraq, the war in Syria displaced about 3 million Iraqis. And where Hani and his people are ministering, there are about 140,000 refugees who are living in tents in the blazing heat of summer and the crushing cold of winter. And they're trying to minister to these men and women, these families, in this really challenging situation. And of course, there aren't any jobs, and there's not enough food, and there's not enough education. And so this is really, really a big challenge. Now, during the war in Syria with ISIS, ISIS took about 7,000 women, Yazidi women. It's a tribe in northern Iraq. They took about 7,000 women as sex slaves. And those women are coming back to the region where they used to live. And they're coming back broken and discouraged. Some of them are coming back with children, and their people don't want them. They'll probably never marry, and they don't have any jobs. So what do we do about that? And then Iraq is in the top 10. Iraq is in the top 10 in the world for human trafficking. Now, all these statistics start making us really numb. You know, they just start making us really numb because they're just numbers. But they're not numbers. They're human beings. There's somebody's father, mother, son, daughter. And they're created in the image of God. And look at that girl. Look at her. The question is how much is she worth? And the answer is she's worth more than all the money that's ever been printed in the history of the world. You can't print enough money to show her value. She's created in the image of God, and it is a great evil to be using her as a slave for profit and or pleasure. And so we want to stand up in Pennsylvania, in Washington State, in the Philippines, and in Iraq and say, this is not okay. This is not okay. Now, the question is, how do we respond to this? How do we respond to this reality? I'm defining a piece of reality in our world. I'm trying to help all of us in this room to see something that maybe we haven't seen or haven't known before, and that this is a reality. But there are other realities as well. And this next slide starts us on some scripture. And this also is a reality. This is our response to this. Praise the Lord. This is our response to the misery and the brokenness. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We need to come into this context of worship. We need to have these conversations within this context of worship, centering on God who can solve these very problems. So we say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, you servants. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised both now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is exalted over all the nations, his glory above the heavens. You know, this last night when we were sleeping, the church woke up in Korea and started to worship the Lord. And then as the sun moved, Japan, parts of Russia, parts of China, and then the Philippines, and then it started to move some more, and then Thailand, and then Africa, and then Josh Fajardo and his family in Spain. And then as we were getting up this morning, they're starting to worship in other places. And when we're having lunch today, my wife will be going to church. There's been this wave of worship for 24 hours where people who are doing really well and are full of joy and people who are broken and full of misery are coming into a place and saying, we are going to center our lives on God. And the very fact that we're all in this room today means that none of us are slaves. It was an abolitionist act that you came to church this morning, that you got up and you said, I am not going to work today. And in fact, I'm going to sacrifice some time, and I'm going to come into a place, and I'm going to recenter on the reality of this world, and I'm going to worship God despite the problems that I have, despite the joys that I have. I'm going to worship God. Now, the psalm goes on. Who is like our God, the one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes, with the princes of his people. He settles the childless woman in her home as a happy mother of children. Praise the Lord. The God of creation doesn't need to stoop down, but he does. The God of creation doesn't need to come down to earth and be with us, but he does. God is with us. God cares about every single aspect of our lives. And God cares about the suffering that you experience and the suffering that others experience. God cares. And he doesn't just care. Divine compassion leads to divine action. He stoops down and he lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust. He seats He seats them with princes. He settles the childless woman in her home. God cares. God cares. And we care because God cares. And we follow God. This is not about Kevin or the Set Free Movement or the Free Methodist Church. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. He's the only one that saves. Jesus is the only one that heals. We follow Jesus into the brokenness. Now, specifically more about Freedom Sunday, about this project in Iraq. We want to come alongside of these families. We want to come alongside of these families and partner with them and be agents of transformation with them. Now, last April, I got together with Rose Brewer from Seed and Linda Adams, who's now your bishop. Isn't that cool? With International Child Care Ministries. And we were talking about Iraq and what can we do? And we all decided together that we were going to focus on one thing. We were going to focus on Iraq together. And so this next slide shows some men. People need to work. We can't just throw money at things. We need to create jobs. We need to create livelihoods. We need to create economic development. And these people need jobs for sustainable economic growth. And so Seed Livelihood is going to come alongside of these refugees, and they're going to address the business opportunities. They're going to coach. They're going to find some money. The money that you give next week in the Freedom Sunday offering, some of that is going to go to seed some kind of a business in this refugee area that's going to help people have jobs. That's super important. This next slide, we want to come alongside these women. Now, you've got to pray for us because we don't know how we're going to do it. And what we've done is we've reached out to healthcare professionals, particularly at some universities, and we've said to Spring Arbor University, will you help us? Will you help us? Because I'm not a healthcare professional. I don't know how to help her. But they do. We need social workers. We need nurses. We need counselors that are going to come in and go to Iraq and help these women, and then to raise up other leaders, Iraqi leaders, to help these women. And then the next slide shows a child, and International Child Care Ministries is coming along the educational aspects. So there's so many children and not enough schools and not enough teachers that kids can only go to school for 3 or 4 months out of the year. That's not going to work. Kids need to be in school. Kids need education in order to have a good life later on. So ICCM is going to come alongside of these kids and try to find some educational solutions. So that's what we're doing. And you can find details about it in the bulletin insert. Now, I want to go to another scripture. I've been a Christian my whole life. I was baptized when I was 7. I actually don't remember a time when I wasn't a Christian. And the Bible truly is alive. Scripture truly is alive. I've probably read Luke thousands of times, and I've listened to it hundreds of times. And I was reading this really literally. It was just a couple months ago, and something jumped out at me that I hadn't seen before. You never know what you're going to find when you read Scripture. God has a way of opening our eyes and smacking us on the head and saying, "Are you paying attention? You got to read this." And that's what happened with me. Now, I was really familiar with the first two slides of this, the first couple paragraphs I was really familiar with. But then the last paragraph really grabbed me. And I think this is a good challenge for us. So this is from Luke chapter 12. And Jesus says to his disciples, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you eat about or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things. And your Father knows that you need them, but seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." Now, I really knew all those verses, and you probably really do too. But it was this next set. "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." What? God has given us the kingdom. The kingdom of God is here right now, and it's ours. We are in the kingdom. We don't have to wait. It's here right now. We have the power of the kingdom right now, which turns everything upside down. And that's what the next verses are. It's turning everything upside down. "Sell your possessions, give to the poor, provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And Jesus is not just telling us, don't worry. He's saying, are you all in? Are you really in? Are you really committed? That's our question this morning. For me as well as for you. And we drift. We get distracted. We want more and more. The American way of life sucks us in. But the question is, are we all in? Are we willing to sacrifice our lives, our time, our talents, our money for the sake of the kingdom? And we need to be all in, because this is not a game. And you can make a profound difference in your family, in your place of work, in your school, in your community, in your state, in your country, in your world, if you're all in. Because if you're all in, Jesus is going to lead us, and God's going to do amazing things through us. So that's the question. I want to invite you, challenge you, encourage you to give your life, everything you have, to God. I want to encourage you, challenge you, invite you to give generously to the Freedom Sunday offering next week. Because we need to make a difference. And you know, we can't do this without money. But you can't just give money either. We need you to pray. And we need some of you to go. Maybe not to Iraq, maybe just across the street, or maybe somewhere else. What's God asking, calling, challenging us to do? This next slide reminds us that we're not just freeing captives. We're not just serving the poor. We want God to create new futures. We want him to transform us. It's about transformation. It's not about church attendance. It's about transformation. Our minds and our hearts become transformed, and then our actions become transformed, and then we transform our communities. We transform our communities. This last slide is just an invitation. I know you're already giving generously to me as a missionary, and also giving generously to other missionaries. I just want to encourage that. And if you're motivated by this and you want to be more committed financially and in prayer with the Set Free Movement, I'd love to talk to you about that. Because we have some significant opportunities, but not enough resources. Now, in just a minute, we're going to have communion, and I want to end with this and then pray. You know, when Jesus had supper with his disciples, they were celebrating the Passover. And the Passover was a celebration of freedom from slavery. God freed people from slavery. And then Jesus, hundreds of years later, is celebrating that with his disciples. And then the next day, he is crucified to complete the work of freedom. And he came to set the captives free. So as you come forward to take communion this morning, I invite you to come forward with gratitude that God has set you free, and then come with an expectation that God is going to set others free through you. Let's pray. Lord, we're so thankful today for all that you have done. We're thankful that you have given us food to eat today and clean water to drink. And we're thankful, God, that we're in a safe environment. We've got electricity. We're thankful, God, that you have blessed us abundantly. And I pray, God, that you would forgive us as we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, and turn us. And Jesus, we want to center our lives on you, and we want to be transformed by your love, your grace, your power. Lord Jesus, transform us. And help us, God, to be agents of hope and healing, transformational agents of hope and healing in our broken world, right here in Titusville, right here in this part of Pennsylvania, and then through prayers and financial giving and in other ways to be blessing to others in the world. And some of us, some in this room, need to go as missionaries, just even across the street, or just down the hall, or to the next community over. God, we want to follow you. So as the service is winding down and we're getting ready and we're going to leave this building in a few minutes, God, we want to follow you into the darkness. We want to follow you into the brokenness with joy, with hope, with healing. And we center this all in you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We invite you to visit our website at t3church.org to listen to our regular podcast and find out more about all that is T3 Church.